B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run. All we need is a 10 and a 5 or a car and a key and a sober driver. B-double-E-double-R-U-N, beer run.
Welcome to the Beer Run, part of the BS and Beer family, the only Saints podcast with a 2-drink minimum and takes as bad as waiting for the actual training camp to start after the main
action
camp, after the OTAs, after it.
That's a joke, boy. You missed it. Went right past you. You got to keep, I say you got to keep on your toes.
I remember toes, that is.
It's training camp for us too, guys. with me as always, is Dale, Lil Dice. How you doing, brother?
All good. Yeah, we're in training camp mode here. It's been a while since we did a podcast.
Been a minute.
I got the drop in though. I remember.
So, hey, you know what? I forgot that we had a drop there, so you're a step ahead of me.
That's right, man. Well, we're talking mini camp, mandatory mini camp, baby, because everybody showed up. So we're gonna be discussing what's been going on with minicamp. We're also going to talk about the positive and negative things that are happening out there, and you know, hopes and dreams going into training camp.
We're gonna keep up our long running tradition of me getting too excited and Dale being too much of a bummer.
I'm not getting caught up again like last year. Now, we can possibly get injured that much again, right? Can't happen.
I've said it 2 years in a row. I'm going to be right eventually. Someday I'm going to be right.
So yeah, I'm not getting caught up in that mess this year.
That's fair.
I'll be negative. So that way, if it happens, I've already prepared myself and we're good. So
no, I'm already ready. I'm already clearing my schedule for the parade. I'm ready for the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
I'm there, man. I'm ready to get hurt again. Let's do this.
Yeah, man. All right. Well, yo, we got four downs. We're going to be coming to you. So referees, get out there, spot the ball. Let's get this thing started.
First down, Saints.
All right. As usual, Craig, on first down, we talk about drinks. So what you drinking?
Man. All right. So I'm in South Louisiana. And I had the fun chance to do yard work in the middle of the day today. So my goodness, I'm drinking a nice light beer. They describe it as a Gulf Coast Cerveza. It's a Barracuda. It's from Abita. And it is just delightful in the heat. I mean, you need to light something when it's 95 degrees with a heat index of triple digits and you're out there down. Oh man, I couldn't imagine going to a mini camp right now. Shoot. Maybe retirement suits me. So it tastes good. It looks good. It's a local beer. How's it sound? Yeah, I mean, yeah, it sounds good. I mean, that's a good sounding beer.
Gotcha. All right. Well, today I have once again got another brew from Lost 40 Brewing Company.
Okay.
The Day Drinker. It's been pretty delightful, and that's what we're rolling with today.
Ooh.
Yeah, nice and foamy.
Good. You know, as a day drinker myself, I support anything called day drinker.
Yeah. Yeah, nice little blonde ale here, man. So good stuff, man. So
is it dying hot up in Arkansas right now, sir?
No. The past couple of days, it's been like mid 70s, low 80s. Like, it's been pretty legit. I got out there yesterday and I did some yard work because it was so nice.
This Saturday, we're trying to do a crawfish boil in my place. We're a little late in the season for it, but if they had a crawfish, I'm gonna do crab and shrimp. I don't give a shit. I'm boiling something on Saturday.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's supposed to be 99 degrees and raining at the same time.
Ooh,
that's just wonderful. I'm from Los Angeles, guys. This is
okay. Get these pop-up tents ready.
My goodness.
Yeah, definitely get that ready, man. At least you can cover up the boilers there, you know.
Just food, man. The rest of us can get one, who cares.
Yeah, there you go. All right, man, let's get on to the next down.
Second down.
All right. And then second down, we're talking mini camp, the mini camp attendance there, Craig.
Real good.
So far, I mean, listen, everything I've seen, everybody was there. Everybody showed up. 100% participation. Nobody's holding out for a contract or anything like that.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, I love it.
It's just there's all these teams that are like, oh well, Stephon Diggs didn't show up today, or oh this guy's gonna hold out, or this guy's gonna hold in, he's gonna show up so he doesn't get fined, but he's not gonna do nothing. Like,
right.
It's nice to just have a hey, everybody was there, everybody seems happy, it's cool. Like, I don't know how they're happy because I know exactly how hot the hell it is outside right now, so I don't know how everyone was in a good mood, but. You know, and everybody showed up. It seemed like everybody had a really positive experience, even though the offense stunk it up, which is, you know, our defense is good. So I'm not going to take too much out of that one practice doing that. But, you know, Carr had good things to say about the guys. You know, Kamara was, oh man, Kamara looks crispy. He's quick out there.
Yeah, he did. Derek Carr mentioned after practice during this media availability that, you know, some of the things Kamara out there doing was insane.
Mm-hmm.
So he loves that route.
Yeah, there's a good quote of Carr when he was talking to Jake Haener. He throws a ball to Kamara who's running this route. So I think it's a choice route over the middle, and he turns to Jake and he goes, "Bro, that's not normal. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a special talent, and maybe we actually use him as a special talent and not just run between the tackles again." Two years we've been trying to beat the brakes off of that guy, and I hope he's got some tread on those tires. He looks good right now, but, you know, it's June.
Yep. And I'm just kind of scrolling through some of the pictures there provided by Saints Wire. So shout out to those guys for getting out there and getting the pictures and everything.
Saints Wire had a good write-up today. If you guys have time, check them out.
Yeah, real quick, Craig, what do you think about the helmet condoms being back?
I hate them, but I'm an offensive lineman who derives joy from hurting people. I mean, I get it. They're a safety thing. I get it. It's a safety thing. It's fine. We don't want anybody to get to catch some clap on the helmet, you know. Good for them being proactive with their safety.
You gotta protect your helmet, baby.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the minicamp here. Rashid Shaheed has a groin injury.
Yeah, they said it's just precautionary, though. Like, it sounds like it's not going to be a big deal. Of course, this is the Saints, so it could be not a big deal, and he won't play for 10 weeks, you know.
I'm telling you.
I mean, when you're right, you're right, man. Those are some of those injuries that just tend to just linger sometimes. So I'm not going to freak out about it right now because no one else is. You know, they said he probably, if it was a game, he could have gone, but it was just a precautionary sit him out for the week kind of thing. He said he was going to be a full go for actual training camp. I'm not sure when that starts, so who knows if that means anything. So I'm not freaking out about it, but if that's the only thing we're hearing about, the only other guy I could think of that I recognize the name of giving a damn about was Ruiz didn't do much. I don't think Ruiz.
Yes. No Cesar Ruiz.
I don't like that. That was of all the awesome good news, including Taysom Hill up on the screen right there. We'll talk about him a little bit later. Mm-hmm. Ruiz not being able to do anything was the big negative for me.
Yeah.
And it's nothing to do with him being an offensive lineman and me being desperate to talk about fat guys. but if it was about that, still a bummer.
You can't really talk fat guys until they actually start hitting in camp.
Yeah, right? They start hitting each other. It's just kind of.
Don't know
of,
anything on the line.
Kind yet. Of important. And that's going to be an issue with that. It's going to hamper a lot of our enthusiasm is that some of the big questions for this team right now are the D-line and the O-line.
Yeah.
And we ain't going to know a damn thing about them until probably preseason.
Yeah, really? Because that's when they really get after it when you're hitting another team. So,
Which is nice that we have the two joint practices, joint practice weeks. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've ever done it with two different teams in the same preseason. So that's interesting.
Well, it's planned right now. That could change, especially when you know, when the Texans come up, because we play them in preseason and during a regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see that kind of going away
Yeah, they could reschedule that. They could get that out of there. I mean, who knows with weather down here? There could be some kind of catastrophic weather event. It could be a hurricane. There could be an unspecified viral lab leak across the world that shuts down everything. I mean, we have no idea really what affects what happens. Mm-hmm. It's a butterfly effect. You know, butterfly flaps its wing and it's in Peking and Central Park gets rain instead of sunshine. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so it's, right.
And hey, nerds out there, that's a Jurassic Park quote. Thank you very much.
The other big news coming out of today's minicamp, Mike Thomas, he made a pretty nice play there, but I want to throw this in. It was off to the side. Okay. He was working with Carr on fade routes while everybody else was working on special teams. Great. I'm glad they're working. At least he's out there doing something. But he apparently had a great one-handed catch working on those fade routes in the end zone. So. Nice to see.
I'm happy about it. I'm happy that he's out there at all. Honestly, if he had waited until actual training camp, I don't think anyone would have blamed him with all the stuff he's coming off of. And then you got guys like Tre'Quan Smith who are all of a sudden looking at if they have a roster spot and had a couple big drops in team today. So the wide receiver thing is going to be really interesting. I mean, a lot of it hinges, of course, on health with Michael Thomas coming back and now Shaheed banged up, you know. But it's really interesting. There's a lot of guys that could make a difference. You know, you talk about that rookie Perry, and you got some guys that should be stars. And it's going to be really, really kind of fun to see how that develops.
Yeah. With the young guys, you can't count them out, you know, too early because Marcus Colston sucked in early minicamp.
I don't know how he didn't get cut before he started coming around. Right,
exactly. I listened to him revisit all that kind of stuff. He was like, he was expecting to get cut and he just wasn't doing well. And all of a sudden in training camp, the light clicked on, you know, and hey, he became a good player. So
and that's not going to be the last or the first time that anyone's compared Perry to Colston either. It's apparently they got a lot. They got a lot in common. Their frame build, their coaching. They have the same offensive coordinator.
Right.
So, I mean, it's there's ample reason to believe he could turn it around, but I don't know. I want those big three healthy. If those big three are healthy, the fourth receiver is very you're talking about fourth receiver. I think this is what they were saying over on the Underhill's show is that if your top three are healthy, then how often you're going to have another two receivers on the field? You're going to have Juwan Johnson out there, even in passing situations. He's a tight end, but he's a receiver. Then you're going to have a Taysom Hill in the game. You're going to have probably a Kamara in the game. I mean, how often do you need a fourth, fifth wide receiver? Honestly.
Well, I mean, hey, with us, we're definitely going to need them for depth. We need depth.
Because none of our three are all going to play the same game together.
Need depth, Kurt. Tell me.
Yeah, we need depth. The linebacker depth and the O-line depth are still keeping me awake at night.
So, speaking of depth at wide receiver, the Saints worked out Lynn Bowden Jr. and Kiki QT.
Okay, so you know a little bit about one of these guys. Can you tell me about these? These are not names that I'm familiar with.
Well, Kiki QT is a fantasy legend, okay?
And that's why I don't know who he is.
He's a guy that everybody's been wanting to work out for years now, and it just hasn't. And so he's going to have another shot. Now,
so he's someone else's Tre'Quan Smith. Awesome.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's another Tre'Quan Smith, wonderful. You know? So Lynn Bowden Jr., this was a gadget guy at Kentucky. He pretty much did it all out there. And the Raiders drafted him pretty high. And then, like, they traded him before preseason started. Or something. It was something weird, okay? Mm. Very, very weird, all right?
Wait. The Raiders did something weird and stupid?
Yeah, exactly.
No. Come on.
You know, that's like so much.
A stable and sane franchise. I can't imagine that.
So much of our season is saying the Raiders are dumb.
Our success hinges really big on if the Raiders are stupid or not.
Yeah, exactly. The Raiders are dumb. They don't know what they do with DA. We got DA. The Raiders are dumb. You don't know what to do with your quarterback. We got their quarterback. We're going to show you how to do it.
Oh, that's hilarious. But so, to be fair, they have been dumb for a while. So, I mean, there's reason to believe it. That's all I'm saying. Mm-hmm. That's funny.
Yep. Jonathan Abram, they cut him. Raiders are dumb. All right, this is how we're working. Raiders better be dumb. Else we're gonna be some upset things.
Thank God it's the Raiders. If we were like betting the house that the Patriots were being dumb, I think we'd all be a little trouble.
Yeah, exactly. the last bit of news I got out of training camp was Ted Ginn Jr. was helping out with the staff at practice. So maybe he turns into a coach pretty soon.
Well, isn't peak Ted Ginn is kind of what we hope Olave is this year, you know? Like,
okay.
I'm thinking that that's a good comp of their skill sets. So that would be really, really cool if Olave could develop that deep game that Ted Ginn was so good at for so long, you know?
Ohio State.
I love bringing in former players.
Ohio State, man. Ohio State.
Big Ohio State pipeline, man.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to keep those pipelines ready and keep them nice. Who knows what Ted Ginn Jr. is going to end up doing in the future. But I mean, look, he knows a lot of the system and everything. So if you get another veteran guy out there to help talk to a young guy, especially a guy like Olave, because of that Ohio State connection, it's good. It's nothing but a good thing.
Definitely. Did we touch on Taysom Hill at all? That he was taking quarterback reps and tight end reps and running routes and doing special teams.
We will get to that in third down. And
I'll make sure we have that. If I don't talk about Taysom Hill one week, out of the year, I go crazy because he's the best, man. It's so exciting to watch him do football stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'll wait. I'm a patient guy.
We're going to have the referees change the chains on the side here to a different down, and we'll get that going for you, Craig.
Third down for what?
All right, Craig. It's officially third down.
Okay. Cool. I had a little false start penalty on me, 5 yards against the offense. Still third down. Taysom Hill is all over the damn place, and I love it, and is happy. Sorry, what's the segment even called that involves Taysom Hill? I'm excited about talking about Taysom Hill right now.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, look, Taysom Hill is working all over the field. He definitely threw a pass. What do you think a perfect kind of season looks like for Taysom Hill as far as averages, number of touches, that kind of thing?
The perfect season for Taysom Hill is some quarterback needy team trades us for Jameis Winston, and then Derek Carr gets hurt and Haener's terrible. So Taysom Hill comes in as the savior in week 3 and we win the Super Bowl with him as starting quarterback. That's the perfect Taysom Hill season, where he throws for 5,000 yards and rushes for 1,000 yards and is the unanimous NFL MVP on the way to a Super Bowl championship. That's the perfect season. Assuming none of that happens, I think you got to get him 10 touches a game. You know, okay. You got to run the quarterback power. It's a cheat code. It works. It's so predictable. Yeah, it doesn't matter. He gets 5 yards anyway. Just run it. Running in the goal line, running in first downs. I think you need to at least put the threat of him playing tight end out there, you know, let him run some routes. But honestly, you got to let him throw a couple passes, because that the one time that he lines up for that QB power, he takes a step and he hits somebody, that little tiny second of hesitation, and all of a sudden that run gets that much more effective. We saw that last year. Was it Atlanta, where he came in for his QB power and he hit Shaheed for like a 60-yarder? Hold on, underthrown. It's part of the game. And I think I love it. I love that they're still letting him do that. Like, I was really worried that DA was going to try to force a round peg into a square hole and make him a tight end. So you don't play quarterback anymore. You just do this, like they said they were going to do. And it's just such a waste, because he's such a weapon. He's so valuable. And I'm really happy about seeing him kind of all over the place.
Is this a difference though? Because I don't remember ever hearing about this in practice. We just see it happens in the game.
Yeah, the talk last training camp was that he wasn't going to do quarterback stuff. Right. That they're getting him out of it. Now they're kind of, I don't know, embracing it. I don't know. I don't know if it's a different philosophy or if they're just not hiding it anymore. Maybe they always did this, but they just didn't do it in front of the cameras and try to keep it in their back pocket for game day. But I love seeing it, and I hope that it means that it's a big part of the offense.
Yeah. Yep. I don't know about 10 touches though. Like,
I'm bad with numbers. I'm a lineman. My head's
just because we've got so many other weapons. Like you brought in Detroit running back.
Williams,
yes. I mean, you really brought him in for a lot of those goal line carries. So maybe Taysom doesn't need to have those goal line carries.
Yeah, and our running back that we drafted, he's a big guy too. He's also going to be useful in goal to go situations.
Oh, Miller, so, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Miller. There's not going to be a situation where you don't have we got too many options. We got too many weapons. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Whatever gets you in the end zone, we have them
yeah.
all.
Yeah, for sure. So
if the question is, oh, this guy should get a touchdown as opposed to that guy, then that's a fantasy football thing, and I don't give a shit about that. I just care about us scoring points.
I care very much, Craig.
Some of us care very much. I am not one of those people. I just want the Saints to score. I have a fantasy team. It's called the Saints. That's the team that I root for. I want them to win every week.
All right. Another little tidbit here with positive and negatives here coming out of camp. They're working Pete Werner a lot in the slot during the team drills there. So this is a difference because usually hearing about, you know, cornerbacks he's going to play in the slot or maybe a safety.
Corner safety.
So now we're looking at a linebacker possibly covering the slot. And maybe it's just for them to be flexible and be able to change our players and different things like that. Maybe that's the reason why he's practicing it.
Yeah, I think it's probably more of that because they've already talked about Roby was getting a lot of reps at the slot and he's real comfortable with it. I think this is more of a situation of they don't want to get caught flat-footed. If they don't have a chance to substitute and there's an extra wide receiver on the field, at least Werner's got good range. He is fast. If it's an emergency, he needs to roll out there and cover a guy. It's not, you know, fish out of water stuff. It's not like trying to watch. Who's that overrated ass linebacker that Atlanta just paid too much money to? Ellis. It's not like trying to watch Ellis in space. Yeah, because that guy's terrible at everything and I hate him. At least he'll have some practice under his belt covering guys in that spot if he gets caught out there on an island. Because sometimes they'll put a guy in motion and they'll set up that with the design of to get him isolated on a linebacker. If that's the linebacker you're trying to isolate, at least he can still cover. He is fast.
Yeah.
Yes, I will slander Ellis and anyone else who leaves the Saints for the Falcons forever. Well, Onyemata sucks too.
They kind of deserve it, so you could win anywhere else. So yeah,
anywhere else.
Speaking of, I got my good 28-3 shirt on that I got made in Atlanta, and I wore it when I was out there and visiting the aquarium. The people loved it out there. It was a hit.
I don't believe you.
I mean, look, the guy stopped me like, man, you want that shirt here? You know, come on, man.
Those of you can't see Dale. He's about 6'5". So like he's a scary dude.
Yeah,
so
sure.
No one approaches him like that at all. It's like, oh, hey, look at that scary guy over there. He's got the Saints shirt on. I'm going to say nothing. That's why I'm so nice to him on the show.
Yeah, sure. Now, as you kind of touched on earlier, the offense struggled today in practice. This is definitely one of the negatives, Craig, and I'm very worried about this. Okay, Carr went 1 of 4 in team drills today. It was a lot of drops.
2 drops.
I'm very concerned about that, Craig.
Yeah, so the 2 drops by Tre'Quan Smith, and the fourth one he missed. He threw it at the guy's feet. It's actually kind of nice to have a little reminder that Derek Carr is not a savior. He's not here to fix the franchise. He's just here to be better than what we had last year. So if everybody tunes in and they want to see Derek Carr be perfect and throw for 5,000 yards and win MVP and be a Pro Bowler, he probably isn't going to do any of that, but he doesn't have to. He just has to be better than Andy Dalton. And for God's sake, if he's somehow not better than Andy Dalton, then I'm done watching football. I can't do it again. So he doesn't have to be a savior. Don't expect him to be.
Well, I mean, you're hoping that the Raiders are stupid here. And
Well, all right, full stop. The Raiders are stupid. I'm just hoping that they are stupid about this as well, because they've been stupid about lots of other stuff. But I did also for this one.
Yeah, remember that tweet I sent out yesterday with from Warren Sharp? He talked about the Raiders kind of given up on Derek Carr last year. This was like last year when he sent this stuff. So he just talked about how they were so wrong. Like, Derek Carr wasn't the problem. The problem was them giving up those leads like that. So,
to be fair, this is going to ruffle some feathers. We give Matt Ryan a lot of shit for blowing leads, but Matt Ryan didn't play defense either.
Yeah.
So to blow a lead, it's the whole team collapse. When we let Tampa Bay come back in that heartbreaking game, it wasn't just Andy Dalton didn't help by freezing up in the second half, but Andy Dalton didn't blow that lead. Defense did. Mark Ingram did. You know, there's a lot of team. It's a team game, so it works. It takes everyone working together to screw that one up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So they gave up a lot of come from behind wins of the Raiders. But Derek Carr also has one of the highest percentages of come from behind victories. He's been very good in those situations. So if you want to put all the late losses on him, sure, fine, whatever. But you also got to give him credit for the ones he comes back in.
That's true.
Including against us. I was at a game where he came back and beat us with a Crabtree push off on a 2-point game. Oh, Cooks had a 98-yard touchdown right in front of me. It was beautiful and we lost anyway. Golly.
That's tough there, man.
It was so hot that day. I'm so drunk. Such a terrible ending.
You remember how drunk you were?
I don't remember how we got home, so yes. Didn't drive. Drive safely, everybody.
That's hilarious, man. That's hilarious.
I still live in California.
They're going to go for it here on fourth down.
All right. On fourth down, we're talking about our hopes and concerns going into training camp.
I wonder which one you're going to tee off on, the hopes or the concerns.
Now, we both expressed some pretty nice optimism on the season, right? Because we looked at the schedule and said, hey, about 11 wins. That sounds about right.
It does sound about right. Crazily.
So we're definitely up there with our hopes now. Do you have any other hopes going into training camp? Like maybe a position group may get together, or a second year guy, third year guy?
So the big thing for me is the boring answer is health. I just want us to be a healthy team. Outside of that, I would really love for the D line or the safeties to take a step forward. If Howden, is that how you pronounce it? Howden?
Yeah.
If that rookie from
Minnesota?
Yeah. If he can end up being a really good player and maybe push for a starting role or at least a contributing role, that would be awesome. So getting some young guys involved there. Smoke Monday apparently was getting first team reps today.
Yeah.
Exciting. So if we can get some youth moving into the conversation at safety, that would be really exciting for me. And the D line is just so crucial for the success of this team. If the D line is good, this team's gonna kick a lot of ass. If the D line's bad, we're gonna have to win some games and shootouts.
Yeah, I'm gonna say I'm really hoping Peyton Turner will be a contributor and not
who
a scratch.
In my head, I was just thinking about the D line, and I thought about everybody except Peyton Turner. I didn't even like picture him. Yeah. I didn't even pop it in my head. It's like, okay, Foskey and Granderson. Okay,
yeah. Wow. Yeah, I would love for the Peyton Turner report to return to BS and Bear this year and actually be positive. You know, that's what I'm hoping for here, Craig.
Well, we won't have the Davin report anymore, so we got to have something to talk about.
Yeah, no more Davin report. So tell me about some concerns. Do you have the hope that maybe they will address a certain spot on the roster, maybe bring somebody else in, maybe make a trade or anything like that?
I do still want to add on the defense. Offense, I feel like if we stay healthy, we're solid. That's my personal opinion. The running back room is deep. Tight end's got some guys. Quarterback room is deep. Wide receiver, if healthy, is really solid. O-line has some pieces. I'm okay with offense. I wouldn't mind acquiring a linebacker or a defensive lineman. Okay. Like that wouldn't suck. I don't think you trade for anybody. I think you roll with who you have through training camp into the preseason. Yeah. And then if something gets exposed, that's when you make a move. But right now I'm worried about health. I'm worried about, you know, Carr getting with these receivers because they're taking turns being injured. You know, there's a lot to be concerned about, but there's a lot to be excited about too. It's that weird, excited, scared, you know, 98% excited, 2% scared. Maybe it's the other way. Maybe it's 98% scared. Either way, it's so crazy.
Yeah.
For those nerds out there, that's an Armageddon quote. I want to see more, man. So we're recording this today. Today's Tuesday. We've only seen one of the mini camps. There's going to be two more.
Yeah.
You updates from. So follow us on our social medias. Follow the Underhills and the Triplets and your Locked On Saints. All those guys will have the stuff before we do. We'll just be more charming when we tell you about it. So there's going to be more to see in the next couple of days for the mini camp. And then the training camp is going to be a much bigger picture. So I got to see more, man. It's exciting. But like until I yeah. see a team session where they're hitting Michael Thomas and Kamara's on a swing route or something like that, until I see all that together, I'm still going to be worried because last season that offense was hard to freaking watch. And I don't want to do it again. I can't do it again, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. I turned games off last year. I never do that.
Yep. So for me, you know, along those same lines of not wanting to watch horrible offense, listen, I just don't want to trust Michael Thomas actually being, you know, healthy the entire season. So I would love to acquire a free agent and not trade for somebody. Hopkins is free right now.
Not getting Hopkins.
Acquire Hopkins.
We're not getting Hopkins. Not doing it. It's not happening. I promise you it's not. And all these teams are, we're scheduling visits with the Titans and the Patriots. No one's even talking about us. We're not involved in it. It's not a thing. When's the last time that somebody like that came free and we were like, the Saints will go get him? Doesn't happen. We don't do that.
Yeah, I don't know why he wouldn't visited the Titans. I mean,
I think that would screw up our locker room too. Like we have our number one of the future with Olave. We have Michael Thomas, who's our Pro Bowl vet guy. You bring in that guy, and it's like, okay, well now we have a new number one guy, and you guys all suck. So Michael Thomas, I know that you're on the 1 year deal, so you can kind of just start cleaning out your locker now. You know, I don't think it's good for locker room. I don't think it's good for morale, and I don't think we need that right now. You know, to put that kind of hit on our books for a position that we're already pretty good at. I don't know. I don't like it.
We've got what, 14 million in cap left. We got
plenty. Probably not enough anyway for him.
We're good. We'll figure that out, man. Trust me.
We have to move some more money around. He's going to want more than 14 this year.
My other position that I'm looking at is defensive line. Mm-hmm. And I know I just said I got hopes for Peyton Turner. But it's just hopes. So I want something a little bit more concrete. And so Yannick Ngakoue, I would love to see him in black and gold.
Is he a free agent still?
Yes.
Gimme.
Still a free agent.
Yeah. Sure. Whatever. Gimme.
So those are my two. That's
give him a prove it deal. We got 14 to play with. Just gimme. Go get him.
Mm-hmm.
Why is this conversation? Mickey.
That's right. Right. Mickey's going to get right on that. And, we're going to win the Super Bowl, Craig. That's what we're going to do.
And we're going to do it anyway, but you know, we'll do it also with that guy. It's an exciting time. It's hard to not have a little optimism, man. The schedule is garbage. The team looks good.
Yeah.
People aren't hurt yet. This is the time. If you're going to be optimistic, this is the time to do it.
Yeah, for sure. Mm. For sure. So, all right, man. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us here on the Beer Run today, Craig.
Thank you all so much for joining us. We might actually do this again more often now that there's football to talk about. for Dale, my good friend, for the whole BS and Beer family, including Dave's loud ass truck. I've been the California Cajun. This has been the Beer Run. Have a beer. It's on me.
Who that?
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Facebook at BS and Beer Media. Or if you're old and want to write a strongly written letter, email us bs@icloud.com.
Bill, 8-1 bout 11, 12, 13. Eastside Soldier Press Park 17. Represent the NO, cause that's where we be. You know who it is, it's us, SFB. Show much love from the 13th to the 9th.
If New Orleans really